Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Tola Talks with Rich Tola, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Rich Tola, and thanks for tuning in to my 21st century talk for a no bullshit world. Because who doesn't want to believe they can, even when the odds are stacked against you? Or are they? Because sometimes it might be just a mindset that you create that the odds are stacked against you. But we're going to be talking about that today, and what it means to have conviction and to exude that energy at all times, regardless of what others say or what seems to be reality at any given time, because reality can change in a moment, in an instant. I like that word, moment, as in my moment from Friday's guest, the first MC rapper to appear on NBC's The Voice. Moses Stone was in the house. I don't know if you guys checked that out, but really cool music. His song, My Moment. He has another song called Young and Invincible featuring Lisa Shinta. She was on the NBC's The Voice as well. And also, give a shout out to my friend Eric Masick. He was on the same season. So if Moses, you're listening, Eric was our very first Acoustic Friday visitor who came in about 12 weeks ago. And he was on the same season, so you guys probably know each other. But, you know, you got to believe, and you have to act accordingly, no matter what it feels like, or like I said, if the odds are stacked against you. But check it out in the archives. That show was Friday, or any other show. You can find it on my website as well, richtola.com, where you'll find the best of the best, the Rich Picks. And we're going to be getting some more Rich Picks for you this week. Going to go through another 15 or 20 shows and pick out some good ones. We also have live music under the live music tab. Yeah, over the past 12 weeks, I think we have about maybe 15 or 16. And this week, we're going to add to it. Because, speaking of live music, you got to tune in tomorrow. Where do you see the two 18-year-old twins, these beautiful gals, talented Sarah Claire is going to be in the house. And plus the charismatic singer-songwriter June Freedom. Hey, take a look at June, man. Cool looking guy. I think dreads are all the rage these days with Moses and June, and it's good stuff. So we're going to really enjoy that program. So tune in to get some live music. Again, we got the two artists coming in, Sarah Claire, Twins, and June Freedom. So that'll be tomorrow. But let's get started with a few shout outs, a few sponsor shout outs. I really do appreciate this. Anybody interested? You know, it's $20 for a shout out. This goes out to the Galli family and the Bernstein family, both out of Washington, D.C. Hey, guys, thanks a lot. Great families over there. I know these guys well, so I'm giving a shout-out to my friends over there in Washington, D.C., which is where Moses hails from. No pun intended there, but yeah, so back on the East Coast. Well, it's kind of cold out there. We're going to get to that. That's one of the stories for today. But, hey, thanks, guys, for supporting the show. Galli, Bernstein, appreciate it. And let's give some celebrity birthday shout-outs. I always like to kind of get the birthdays going for the celebs. It's not that they're going to the site clicking on the Advertise With Us tab, but, you know, I like to do it. Martin Scorsese. He's 72, born in 1942. How about Lauren Hutton? She was gorgeous. Remember American Gigolo with Richard Gere? She's 71. Happy birthday to Lauren. Danny DeVito. He's amazing. He's 70. You know what I loved him in Twins, aside from his Taxi days, but he did a great job with Schwarzenegger in that movie. Loved it. And Tom Seaver, three-time Cy Young Award winner, 300-game winner. He's 70 years old, same as Danny DeVito. He's born in 1944. And then here's a rest in peace birthday shout-out. Jeff Buckley, you know the singer? I mean, I love that song. I play that in my yoga classes. Everybody Here Wants You. Well, he would have been 48 years old. He died tragically. I think he died in a swimming pool, they found him. So, you know, rest in peace to Jeff. Great music there. And how about On This Day in History? I like to go around and do that. Yeah, got to give a shout out to one of my buddies. I call him an equine specialist in my memoir, Jimmy V, New York City, in 1894. It's 120 years ago, to be exact. The Daily Racing Forum was founded. Yeah, Jimmy V is a big horse owner. We owned the racehorse together. Kit, remember those good old days? And 1940, that's 74 years ago. It doesn't seem that long, but the Green Bay Packers became the first NFL team to travel by plane. Yeah, how about that? 1973. Well, anybody remember this? I remember this. I was 10 years old. U.S. President Richard Nixon tells the Associated Press, AP, quote, "The people have got to know whether or not their president is a crook." Well, I'm not a crook. So much for the spoken word, huh? And in 2003, a little closer to home here, Britney Spears, she was 21 years old. She became the youngest singer ever to get a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Yeah, if you want to go check her out, she's on the north side of the street. That's the hillside, 6800 block. It's right near the corner of Hollywood and Highland. I know it well. And speaking of stars on the Walk of Fame, now this just happened. Well, it says it was happening at 11:30 this morning, so maybe about 35 minutes ago. Matthew McConaughey is getting his own star, 2,534th star on the Walk of Fame. Yeah, I'm right in front of Madame Tussauds Hollywood, so if you guys are out there, give a shout out. I mean, we reviewed his movie, Interstellar. Love him. He's one of my favorite actors. Yeah, let me give you some tidbits about the Walk of Fame. I know it well. Back in 2010, put together what's called the Yoga Survival Guide. Anybody who wants to know anything or needs to know everything about 100 different yoga poses, the 100 most important ones, go check that out. Yoga Survival Guide. You get it on my website. Amazon's got it. But I did number 27. I went through the streets of Hollywood, did 30 episodes, and number 27 is called Walk of Fame Yoga. I remember I was doing right on Stallone's star. Kind of cool, but all throughout. So let's give you some more tidbits, because the Walk of Fame is pretty cool. It runs 1.3 miles east to west on Hollywood Boulevard from North Gower, and I lived on Bronson, which is one block away, to North La Brea Avenue. Plus, it's got a little short segment at Mansfield Way. That's that little diagonal that runs between Hollywood and La Brea, right where the four ladies are with Marilyn up top, if you guys know that. And then it runs north-south on Vine Street. I know this because I lived on Sunset and Vine between Sunset and Yucca Street. So check it out. They get 10 million visitors a year. Yeah. The monuments themselves are made of coral pink terrazzo stone. They're five-pointed stars rimmed with bronze inlaid into a charcoal-colored terrazzo background. Now, there's five different categories that you can have. And here's how they're split. Motion pictures, like film, that's the first. That has the most with 48%. Broadcast TV is about 24% of them are given to broadcast. Audio recording and music, that's Britney's category. It's 17% of the stones given out. Broadcast radio, I guess that's where I am. That's 10%. And comedy or live theater or live performances is about 2%. So you got the five categories: film, TV, music, radio, and theater. So check it out. Not too cheap to get your own star. A couple of stars have declined. Why? It costs $30,000 to sponsor your own star. Hey, you got to pay for it. Why? Well, half of it goes to making it and kind of the construction therein that takes to get it over there. And half of it goes to maintaining the star because it costs money to maintain it. Now, check it out. They get 300 applications a year. And they select 24, on average, they select 24, about four in each category. So, if you're thinking about getting your own star, well, hang in there. We all love one of those, but a few shekels later, but you never know. And on that note, let's go around the globe for the latest news. What do we call in this first one? November. Oh, it's cold. It's cold in L.A. I mean, when I went out this morning, I'm thinking, when you go to the gym at 5 in the morning or 5:30 and it feels like it's 50 degrees here, 50 degrees is cold for us. Well, but for the rest of the United States, the eastern half of the U.S. is getting blasted with a punishing mix of record cold, heavy snow, and even a few tornadoes. Yeah, it's Arctic air. It's rocketing across the central and eastern parts of the country. Yeah, it's a cold front passing through. Right? Temperatures are going to be plummeting before below freezing by nightfall, all the way from Montana to Florida. So you got to bundle up tonight because they say about 200 million Americans will wake up to sub-freezing temperatures tomorrow morning. Ooh, that's cold. Yeah, you get used to it here. I mean, I've been here for 8 years now, and I can't really handle the cold. I mean, my coldest night of my life, which I write about in my memoir, was in Chicago. That's way cold, and it was 40 below with the wind chill. So I know what it's like to experience the cold, but we don't particularly like it over here. But yeah, there is a lot of snow falling in the Ohio Valley, around the Great Lakes, Chicago area, interior portions of the Northeast. It's unusual for mid-November. Right, but they say snow now covers more than half of the U.S., according to the National Weather Service. So, hey, be safe, stay warm, and you got to use this time to spend more time indoors, indoor sports. You got to pick your poison. For me, it's the gym, or maybe you just want to stay in bed, but make sure you have somebody with you at all. That always helps. Here we go. Second story, calling this The Hunt Begins. This is a sad story. I'm very familiar with all this in New York City. We're going to go back to my my old hometown, really. I mean, love it there. I lived 12 years there. Took the subways a lot, all the time, shall I say. You know, back when I was there, didn't have cell phones. You had to go to on the corner there with a phone booth. And by then, they had the half phones. But it wasn't that easy. But I do remember the subways quite well. I think I've ridden every subway in that town. But it's New York City, where police are hunting a man who pushed a Chinese immigrant to his death in front of a subway train in the Bronx yesterday morning. Okay, now that just sucks. It does, because Y Kwun Kwok, 61-year-old man, was about to board a train early Sunday morning with his wife for their weekly trip to Manhattan's Chinatown, know it well, when an apparent stranger shoved him into the path of the D train. Okay. What the hell is this guy doing? The driver of the train slammed on his brakes, but it was too late, okay, according to the New York Post. The lead subway car struck this man while his body was still in midair. I mean, it's got to be a hate crime. It's got to be a nasty individual out there. There's a lot of bad souls, people. So this nasty individual, for whatever reason whatsoever, pushes a person to his death. So, you know, unexplainable, unexcusable, but the police did release a surveillance video, which I watched, of a suspect. He's boarding a bus, then he gets off the bus, then he's smoking a cigarette. It's kind of pretty good visuals. So hopefully this is the guy. And Kwok and his wife, like I said, the weekly grocery trip, they had no interactions whatsoever with this guy. The husband didn't interact with this guy at all before the accident. So why does it occur? Don't always know why. Doesn't really matter why at this point. What matters is some bad individual did a bad thing, a horrible thing, okay? Be careful, people, especially if you're riding subways, no matter where you are, right? You have a tendency, it's kind of cool, you have a tendency to sort of creep up to that line. You have a tendency to look over. You're thinking by looking down the tracks, maybe it's going to come quicker, or maybe you're just fascinated. A lot of times I'll stand there looking and you see like rats run across, especially in New York City. You don't see a lot of those here in LA, but you got to be careful. You got to stand way away. And if you are standing next to that, you know, if you're getting close to it, you got to put all your energy and all the weight on the back leg, lean away from it. I mean, I've done it a lot of times, but when you see people do it, it's scary. You could lose your balance. Some jackass is going to come by and push you. So, hey, be really careful out there, especially when you're dealing with subways. Just stay away, right? And always hold on to your possessions. I mean, I learned that the very first time I went to New York City, a buddy of mine, I remember I put my bag down right next to me, and he grabs my bag, and he says, never let go of anything, not in this town. Can't put it down. You just can't do it. There's a lot of bad souls out there. So anyway, moving on. Hopefully they catch this guy, and they railroad this guy. They really should. Take him all the way to his grave, but who the heck knows. Anyway, let's call this another story. This is kind of interesting. I'm calling it, What's That Smell? This is kind of a strange story. Australian. Well, go over to Australia for this one. The Australian TV host, Carl Stefanovic, he wore the same suit for an entire year, and no one noticed it. Well, if they did, they didn't say anything about it. Yeah, Stefanovic, who co-hosts the Today Morning program in Australia, said he was frustrated by the sexism targeted at his female colleagues. Well, I like what he's all about. This is quoting our buddy Stefanovic. He says, no one has noticed. No one gives a shit. But women, they wear the wrong color and they get pulled up. Yeah, going on to quote this guy. He says, they say the wrong thing and there's thousands of tweets written about them. said women are judged more harshly and keenly for what they do, what they say, and what they wear. No doubt. You know, first of all, who gives a shit what anybody thinks about what you're wearing and what you're saying? You shouldn't care whatsoever, but people do. You know, they rip apart these women. It's like amazing, you know, how they look at it. Well, I mean, we in society, that's kind of what you do. People judge, right? You know, what she's wearing, it's all about that. With guys, yeah, the guy wears a suit. He probably don't even know. He can't even tell. So we started this experiment after co-host Lisa Wilkinson gave a speech about sexism and received criticism for her wardrobe. Okay, after a month, he went a whole month without telling her or anybody that he was wearing the same suit. He says he wore it for an entire year, except for taking a few days off to get it dry cleaned. Well, I don't know, Carl. I mean, that's going a little bit far, I guess, but hey, you got the same suit. Most people don't notice anyway. You changed your tie. I looked at a bunch of pictures of you. At least you mixed that up a little bit. But, you know, it is unfortunate that there's a double standard. But what are you going to do? What you do is, ladies, you can't give a shit. Smile, be you, wear it proudly. It doesn't matter what you're wearing, right? Be proud. Now, of course, if you're on TV and you're hosting shows, whatever, you're going to come under more criticism. But what does it matter? Okay, it's all about those people. Whatever people say to you, it's about them. It has nothing to do with you. So, you know, F them, right? There you go. On that note, let's move on to another story here, calling this Kiss Me, Kiss Me. A new study published in Microbiome. I guess that's, I don't know where that magazine's from, but it takes a look at what happens when we kiss intimately. And it finds that 10 seconds of passion can result in the transfer of up to 80 million bacteria. That's the good news. Oh, wait a minute. You're like, what do you mean that's the good news? Isn't 80 million bacteria could be bad? Well, not exactly. Why? Well, we'll talk about that. But Dutch researchers examined 21 couples and found that the couples who shared no less than 9 intimate kisses per day, yeah, that's what the tongue, of course, the French kiss, they shared salivary microbiota. Technical words. Does that mean? It's pretty straightforward, right? They shared bacteria. Right. They said that the kiss, 10 seconds or more, equated to more than 80 million, which is healthy. Why is it healthy? One researcher put it, kissing is very healthy because the more bacteria we're exposed to, the stronger our resistance can potentially become. Well, that makes a lot of sense, right? I mean, you're exposed to it, you build up a tolerance to it, and I guess, yeah, kissing is a good thing. Oh, it's always a good thing, but a study also showed, this is kind of interesting, I totally get this, the difference between how men and women classify kissing. Another study, 74% of men, right, reported more smooches and more passionate smooches than their women counterparts did. Yeah, so they interviewed the same man and woman couple. They interviewed the couple each. And in one case, and they asked them, they kind of quantified it with numbers. This one man, right, with his wife, he says he has more than 50 intimate kisses per day. Okay, in closed room, they did this. What did she say? They had 8. That's a big disparity there, Capitano. I mean, maybe you're kissing somebody other than your wife, but I don't know. From 50 to 8? Yeah, what's that all about? Or it's how you judge an intimate kiss, right? A peck on the cheek or a peck on the lips. I mean, what does that mean? We're talking intimate, passionate, 10-second kisses. How the heck's this guy getting 50 mixed up with 8? Yeah, who knows? But the good news is, keep kissing people. Build up your immune system. There we go. Let's move on. A little more sad story here. Now, we reported on this on Friday, okay? And the story was called, if you want to listen to it, Here We Go Again. What are we talking about? Ebola. And you can't get enough of this. I mean, it's just always all over the place. But this surgeon, Dr. Martin Salia, now he's the guy who is a who is a permanent resident of Maryland, right, but is a Sierra Leone national. He died at 5 o'clock this morning, 5 a.m., according to the Nebraska Medical Center spokesperson, Taylor Wilson. You guys know all about the biocontainment unit, right? There's the biocontainment unit in Nebraska, which are successfully treated. You know, the reason why they're taking these people here, treated two others. It's a 10-bed unit with the special features, right? The air handling, filtration, ultraviolet systems, keeping the microbiotics from spreading. I mean, that's really what it's about, is how do you treat this? And all Americans treated with Ebola in the U.S. have survived, but unfortunately, Mr. Salia had passed away. Now, last week, they reported he was treating patients in West Africa when he contracted the disease. And we reported on Friday that he had to wait. They're waiting till Saturday to see if he was healthy enough to make the trip to Omaha, Nebraska, to the medical center. He was already suffering from advanced symptoms, but unfortunately, he did not make it. Now, to date, we've had 5,177 people die from Ebola. Doesn't seem like a lot, but it does seem like every week, I mean, somebody's dying from this. And our buddy Ron Klain, remember the President Obama elected the guru, Ebola guru, responsible for the coordination of this. I mean, he's hailed it as successfully treating all the Ebolas here in the U.S., but I guess if you're getting these guys with advanced stages, it's pretty difficult. Remember, 60%, well, between 50 and 60% who contract the virus die. And I don't know, you know, you're shipping these guys over here. That's a little dicey, I will say. I understand you're definitely trying to save lives, but now you're shipping people over here, which you have to be in contact with others along the way, right? I don't know. I don't know about that. You better think twice about that. You got to think twice about, first of all, if you're going over there, you're taking it upon yourself, you're exposing yourself to danger. It's like walking into a room filled with snakes. I mean, hey, what do you think? You're not going to get bit? Well, somebody's going to get bit. So you get bit, now you want to kind of rush back to get treated. I don't know, man. That's a dicey thing. Got to be thinking, protecting citizens in the United States. Well, hopefully everything was done properly, or maybe they're practicing. They're getting some practice at this by transporting, but I don't know. Ebola, it's just going to get worse. Remember, we talked about it's not the beginning of the end here, folks. It's just the beginning. Well, good luck to anyone over there who is helping out with the virus and doing their best to help in West Africa. But always be conscious that, hey, this is something that's here to stay. Well, good luck with all that. All right, moving on to another story here. I mean, this story is another story which is passionate about this. Homeless in America. What are we talking about here? And this is horrible, okay? The number of homeless children in the U.S. has surged to an all-time high, okay? One out of every 30 children, that's right, one child among 30, according to a comprehensive state-by-state report that blames the nation's high poverty rate, the lack of affordable housing, right, and the impact of pervasive domestic violence. No shit, people. Domestic violence sucks. That I know. And building that into this story here with one child out of every 30 that's homeless, okay? Well, this report that was titled America's Youngest Outcasts, okay, it was issued today by the National Center on Family Homelessness. It calculated that nearly 2.5 million American children were homeless at some point last year, 2013. It includes 1.3 million homeless children in public schools. Well, and you're talking California, and we have a huge, look at this. We have 1/8 of the U.S. population, but we have 1/5 of the homeless children population with over 500,000. They say there's 527,000 children homeless. And that's not counting the kids that fall through the cracks, because there are a lot of kids out there that aren't even accounted for. So let's just say there's about 600,000 children in California, I'm throwing that out there, that are homeless. Now that's up. Those numbers are up. Almost 10%, 8% from 2012 to 2013. Okay, why? You got to start with the minimum wage, people. You don't make it. Nobody makes enough money. You can't make a living off of $8 an hour. I'm going to get to that question. A gal wrote in. Can't make a living. You got to increase the minimum wage. Okay, people are starving, and then housing prices have gone up. You can't even rent an apartment. Everything's like kind of spiraling out of control, but the wages aren't keeping up. You got to do it. You got to somehow figure out a way to benefit these corporations that are going to pay higher wages because it benefits society. You can't have all these kids homeless. It's not right, people. You got to give back, too. This is that time of year, especially with organizations, and we'll get to that with our sponsors. But if there's organizations out there in your community where you could give back, I mean, Moses Stone just did a concert on Friday. Hey, hope that went well. Moses didn't get a chance to see it, but you know, Kicks for Kids. All about helping children. My foundation, Boulevard Zen Foundation, is empowering kids with the knowledge and the wherewithal to kind of treat themselves with yoga or the benefits of yoga. So here you go. If you get a chance, no matter what you're doing in society, give back, especially to kids. You see a homeless kid on the street, give them something. You could do it. It's not gonna break your bank. So here we go. Let's get to our sponsors because I really love what Dress for Success is doing. Right here in Los Angeles. Dress for Success is an international non-for-profit organization that promotes the economic independence of disadvantaged women by providing professional attire, a network of support, and the career development tools to help women thrive in work and in life. Because it's all about helping our fellow mankind, or for dressforsuccess.org, it's womankind, by helping those less fortunate. Just like West Coast director Rena De Assis and the folks in Los Angeles have done by serving more than 4,000 clients, by partnering with over 160 community agencies since opening in 2009. Now, the organization's been around since 1997, which you can hear all about in my interview, Tola Talks interview with Rena on October 29th. Or check them out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at DFS West. Or this week, starting November 20th, come to the Shop for Success LA event. It's an event that they're holding from the 20th to the 23rd in Westwood Village at 1000 Westwood Boulevard. Now, 100% of all proceeds of all the clothes that are sold, both men and women, mostly women, are going to benefit the charity. I'll be there on Saturday. Hope to see you there, but that's what it's about. It's empowering women, and a lot of these women have children, which empowers the children because it passes along through the family. Just like domestic violence, it's like a domino effect. It kind of gets into the genes. I write about that. Well, you got to get empowerment into the genes, make these women feel better about themselves, kind of give them, you know, help them out a little bit. There's a lot of people starving out there, folks. And in this instance, you're empowering women with a network, with clothes, but it goes through to the family. So, hey, way to go, Dress for Success. And another sponsor, really appreciate this, John Francis Beauty. Now, here's a cool guy. You want to look and feel your best with one of the most sought-after editorial and celebrity stylists in the business? Then look no further. John Francis, founder and chief visionary of John Francis Beauty, is a creative force of nature with an eye for defining the latest styles. His creative vision, combined with his natural talents for enhancing the natural beauty of his clients, such as Hayden Panettiere, Hilary Duff, Gerard Butler, and Sting, just to name a few, have made him quite the industry favorite. You can visit his website at johnfrancisbeauty.com. Follow him on Facebook and Instagram. Same name, John Francis Beauty, at John Francis Beauty. Definitely check him out, both men and women, because you don't have to be a celebrity to experience the best. And I did interview John Francis, super cool guy, on September 8th. Got some rich picks out of that as well, John Francis. And a fascinating guy with a passion for style as well as hair. You know, that's my background. Not to mention he's a family man who's been surfing, motocross, doing all sorts of fun stuff throughout his lifetime. So check it out. Yeah, John Francis doing some good things to keep you looking good. And on that note, let's just swoosh it on over to the Get Your Shit Together Award. Remember this? Did that 30-episode podcast called GYST with Rich Tola, or Get Your Shit Together, because, hey, we all need to get our shit together in some compartment in our life. Nobody's perfect. But, hey, in this instance, you can't be rude and disrespectful. Where are we going with that? The NFL. No, it's not a player. No, it's not the commissioner or the governing body. And no, it's not any of these broadcasters. No, not at all. This is a fan. Jackass, if you ask me. Disrespectful guy. So check it out. This was yesterday, Sunday football, right? After watching his team give up another touchdown on Sunday, this New Orleans Saints fan, he simply had no regard for a Cincinnati Bengals fan. This is a woman. okay? Had no regard whatsoever. And you got to go watch this. It's a very, very short video. Tight end Jermaine Gresham had just given Cincinnati a 20-3 lead, right, over the Saints in the Superdome yesterday with a second touchdown of the game. So, kind of runs up, you know, they kind of run through the end zone, gets to the wall, and he tried to do something. I mean, it was like really, it was a really nice thing he tried to do. He tossed the ball to a woman wearing a Bengals jersey, you know, celebrating. She reaches over, and then all of a sudden, this jackass, the Saints fan, intercepts the flip. Okay? Kind of, you know, jumps right in front of her, rips it away, and he refused to give the ball to her because she was like, yeah, well, he was giving it to me. I was the rightful owner. It doesn't matter. She kind of begged for it. He didn't give it to her. I guess they didn't make him give it to her, but the good news is she was able to get another ball anyway because they gave her one. The Cincinnati, they were nice enough to give her a great souvenir. So she left the ballpark with a ball. But I'm going to give the Get Your Shit Together award to that jackass who jumped in front of her and stole the ball away from him. What are you thinking, dude? I mean, first of all, it's not your team, okay? It's not your team. The guy scores a touchdown. He clearly is giving it to the woman who's celebrating, and you jump in front. You know, if there was a guy would have punched her right in the face. Instead, the woman was being nice, and, you know, so I'm glad nothing bad happened there. But, you know, that guy should have got slapped upside the head, and somebody should have ripped that ball out of his hand, so... Hey, got to get your shit together. That's disrespectful. Selfishness to the max. Can't be like that, people. Especially now, not this time of year. You know, you got to give back. And this guy here, I'm going to give him the Get Your Shit Together award. So much for that, because we're going to whip it on over. What's today? Movie Monday. Yeah. What are you guys thinking? Movie Monday. I didn't even mention this in the beginning. Well, I think there's a reason why I didn't mention to me. I might have tried to put this film out of my psyche. It was number one at the box office this weekend. It premiered on November 14th. Yeah, it did $38 million this weekend. What are we talking about? The Farley brothers, Bobby and Peter. Another movie under their belt, Dumb and Dumber 2. All right, let's talk about this. Well, let's say I did not see Dumb and Dumber 1, which came out 20 years ago, 1994. It was actually the first film that they directed. That's the first credit listed for the Farley brothers. I mean, you know these guys. There's Something About Mary, Me, Myself, and Irene. Love that movie, by the way. Well, this one, Dumb and Dumber 2, stars Jim Carrey, Jeff Daniels. You know, Rob Riggle, he's from The Hangover, 21 Jump Street, 22 Jump Street. He's kind of funny, dude. Kathleen Turner, wow, holy cow. And Kathleen, I didn't recognize her. I kept saying to myself, is that Kathleen Turner? Like Romance in the Stone, 1984, gorgeous. Kathleen Turner, who starred with Michael Douglas, really cool movie, great movie, actually. Well, yeah, it was her. I had no idea. You look a lot different there, girl. Bill Murray was in it. Yeah, a small little thing. Tembi Locke, she's kind of cool. She's been around for 20 years. I think she was on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air back in the day. She's a pretty hot gal. But who I like the most here, Penny, Rachel Melvin. Yeah, she's been around about 10 years. She was one of the Days of Our Lives star. She graduated high school in 2003 and got right into the business, but she's adorable, all right? Well, let's talk a little bit more about this. 20 years since their first adventure, Lloyd and Harry, right, the two idiots, dumb and dumber, they go on a road trip to find Harry's newly discovered daughter, that's Penny, that's the Melvin chick, who was given up for adoption by Kathleen Turner, go figure. Right, so the adventure begins. It's produced by Universal Pictures, distributed by Universal Pictures, big powerhouse, spent a lot of money on this, I'm assuming, a lot of money on advertising, and the users... On IMDb, I always check that out. They rated it 7.3 out of 10. That seems pretty darn high to me. Well, there's about 5,000 votes. 3,600 of those were male. You're looking probably 80% of the guys. It's age 18 to 29. All right. Well, what could I say? I'm definitely a big Jim Carrey fan, and Jeff Daniels as well. More of a Jim Carrey fan, but... I don't know. I don't think you really need it to see Dumb and Dumber 1, the original, because they really do a good job in the beginning. Kind of explains everything. Kind of puts it right out there for you, which you need to. And it's based on the characters and the plot. You know, it's 20 years later. So it's a pretty cool beginning, I will say. I did enjoy it. I did understand it. No worries about giving it away, though. Because although it's a predictable movie, by any means, it doesn't really matter where it's going. Because this is like a physical comedy. There's some raunchy comedy, which I was surprised about that. There's intrigue, no doubt. They talk about sex. There's really no sex, or maybe there's no sex. There's no sex in this. They talk about, and then she's a hot babe. Our girl Rachel is definitely hot. I mean, they got her in her underwear there. But like I said, I really enjoyed her. Movie goes by quick, I will say. It goes by quick, and there's a lot of little chuckles, but there's no roaring laughter. You never really get into laughing in this film. I didn't. I mean, it's, well, like I said, I'm not sure how good the first one was, but this was like stupidly funny. Kind of like funny, but not outrageously funny. Again, using that word roaring laughter. Comedic timing, but it's really not that critical. So with comedy, like the show Friends, it's all about timing, right? Well, this one, I don't think it's really about timing because it's the shit that they say and the feelings behind it are good enough. So again, it's stupidly funny. Not my kind of movie, though. Definitely not my kind of movie. There was a lot of kids in the movie theater. I went on a Sunday morning. I do the matinee. And I'd say there was 50%. Well, 50% were kids, and I'm saying kids under the age of 18, about 40% couples, and 10% guys like me, guys flying solo. I didn't see any women flying solo, although women rarely do fly solo, right, in movies. If you're confident, you will. And, well, probably a lot of Jim Carrey fans or Jeff Daniels fans, or if you're a 21 Jump Street fan, although it's a much better movie. And like I said, the daughter, Penny, she does a good job because she kind of leads you down a path that, well, let's just say, I'm not going to give it away. Kind of leads you somewhere that, you think where you're going, but not really. Is it heartfelt? I love those kind of movies. Well, maybe twice. Kind of gets you halfway there. So, no, I'd say it's not, but there definitely are one or two moments, and one of them, I think, Jim Carrey does a great job. But, is this worth seeing again? No chance. No way I'm going to watch this thing again. And would I recommend anybody to go see it? Well, I mean, if you like stupid movies, you might like it. I mean, everybody's funny, but, I mean, I liked him in Me, Myself, and Irene. Jim Carrey, that is. That was a great movie with Renee Zellweger. Remember her? In that film, that was awesome. One of the favorite movies of all time, especially this time of year, Thanksgiving, is Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Remember John Candy and Steve Martin? But I wonder if, I'm trying to think here out loud, that Jim Carrey never worked with John Candy, right? I don't think so. If you know of it, let me know. But definitely loved him in Me, Myself, and Irene, Jim Carrey, that is. But it doesn't really go, he doesn't go very deep here. And I'm saying this is definitely not one of his better films. Matter of fact, it might be his worst film. Maybe the worst film I've ever seen him in. And like I said, except for that one theme, talk about blood and guts. There's no blood and guts here. People do die. It's kind of funny. Kind of like, wow. You know, somebody died, but everything is kind of stupidly funny. Ridiculous. I'd use that word. Becomes like, ooh, you know, that's effed up. I mean, there are times when you're just sitting there saying, wow, they did that. But it's a Farley thing, so I get it. And they do say the F word once. Kind of interesting. Kind of get that out there. Well, simple concept, but believe it or not, it's a complex film. It has several plots that overlap each other. And at the end, they all come together. So these sort of plots are, you know, they overlap, not necessarily interwoven, but they do overlap and they do come together at the end. So it gels pretty nicely. And they're definitely, the Farley brothers are definitely talented. Some awesome work they've put out, but yeah, I don't know, in terms of their best work. Not sure. Like, again, if you were a big Dumb and Dumber fan from 1994, Well, that means you were probably a kid, and now you're 20 years older. Well, but I do have a friend of mine. What's he, like 29, 30 years old, without saying his name? He's a big gamer, and he was a big fan of the first one. I mean, I'm sure he'd give it two thumbs up, but for me, where am I going with this, guys? You know where I'm going. We give one, two, or three thumbs. I'm giving this a one thumb. Why? Only because of Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels and the hot babe. That's it. Except for that, not even Kathleen Turner. Words to describe this film: stupid, intriguing, mildly funny, never knee-snapping or gut-wrenching funny. It's quick. It's thoughtful. Sexy at times, when you see her in her underwear. Painful at times. Is it believable? No. Nah, you can't really weave, you know, things don't really connect the dots. And did I say it was stupid? Yes, I did, because it's very stupid. So here you go. Who's going to really like this movie? I'll tell you who's going to like this movie. A cave-dwelling, games-playing, SpongeBob pants-loving male geek. That's going to like this movie. We're giving it one thumbs. That's the lowest I've given thus far to 12 films. Yeah, you guys know we've reviewed 12 films already. I'm going to go through these with you, do a little recap. Why not? 12 movies over the past 12 weeks. This is week 12. Okay, first week we did November Man. You know, I like to get these films when they first come out with Pierce Brosnan and Luke Bracey. I gave that a 1.5. You know, you can go back and check it out in the archives. Again, it was week one. It was on Monday, Movie Monday. Number two was Begin Again. I really enjoyed that movie with Keira Knightley and Adam Levine. I gave that two thumbs. Yeah, and then followed up by The Identical. Remember, with Blake Rain and Aaron Cottrell? Gave that another two thumbs. Then I went Walk Among the Tombstones with Liam Neeson. I gave that 1.5 thumbs, kind of like November Manish. I love Liam, but yeah, if you like Liam, definitely go see it. Then The Equalizer, gave that two thumbs with Denzel. I mean, he's the man, of course. Gone Girl with Ben Affleck and Rosamund Pike, gave that 1.5, 1.5 thumbs. Didn't really like that movie for all that it was hyped up to be. Nah, not a huge fan. The Judge, we did that the following week over with Robert Downey Jr. and Robert Duvall, gave that two thumbs. And then how about Fury with Brad Pitt? Another one. Not a big fan of that film, Brad. Love him as an actor. Gave that 1.5 thumbs. How about John Wick with Keanu Reeves? Gave that a 2. Pretty good. I like him. Great stunt action in that film. Great. And number 10, 10th one we did was Nightcrawler with Jake Gyllenhaal. Gave that 2 thumbs. Because I said, anyone who wants to start a business, got to watch that film. The commitment this guy makes. The due diligence that that goes into everything that this guy does. Man, what a character he plays. And last week, we did Interstellar. That's got the highest so far, 2.5. I'm a big McConaughey fan. Matt Damon, Anne Hathaway. I mean, I think the talent in there just rocked that film. So there you have it. And this week, Dumb and Dumber gets a 1. Yeah, you could tell. Definitely a movie fan. You know, getting a 3 thumbs. Yeah, that's a little tricky. You got to be at the top of your game, and that's all-star material. No one's getting close to that. And, one thumb, like I said, these guys are talented, no doubt. Jeff Daniels, Jim Carrey, I hope they don't make another one of those movies, but if they do, hey, they're doing the numbers, $38 million. There's some big numbers. I mean, Brad Pitt's movie didn't do that. I don't think Gone Girl hit that either. Nah, there's some big numbers. So there you go, folks. There you go, for Movie Monday, Dumb and Dumber 2. All right, so where do we want to go now? Let's do this. What's your ATA? What's your Ask Tola Anything? Had a couple of questions came in. Right, let's see. And we have time to get to both of these? Maybe we do. All right, here we go. I'm going to go with the first one. Josephine out of San Francisco, she writes in. She says, I work 4 part-time jobs and have enough money for all that I need, but I never have any time for anything else. How do I add some balance to my life? Well, you definitely need some balance to your life. Well, first of all, I'm going to recommend you, darling Josephine, to go and listen to a couple of my Get Your Shit Together podcasts. Number 11, Clarify Your Ambition. And number 27, Find Your Bliss. it's find your place with yoga, but it's about clarifying your ambition. Like, what are you ambitious about? You got four part-time jobs. Okay, why do you have four part-time jobs, first of all? What is it? You don't know what you want to do? Or you just like to kind of fill your time? Probably don't have a boyfriend, right? Kind of probably alone. You fill your time so that you're kind of numb, right? You don't want to have time for anything else. Well, you don't have time for anything else. Well, you have to find balance in your life. First of all, you got to decide what it is that drives you in life. Is one of these jobs is something you love doing, or you're just clearly doing it because you need money? Hey, making $8 an hour. Well, the minimum wage, you're making a little more money up there, I hope. But I don't know. I don't know what's happening in your life, but you definitely have to simplify. Four jobs seems like one or two too many. So think about it. How can you increase the time spent on that which you love doing, or maybe remove one of these jobs? If you have all the money that you need, then why not take that time to find out what truly drives you, how you can impact society? Because if you're just grinding it out with four different jobs, right, bouncing around from place to place, filling your time, what about the gym? Do you go to the gym? What about time alone? Do you go to movies? Do you go to libraries? Do you go to museums? You got to do this stuff. You got to go take yourself out on a date. Oh, that's another one you should go check out of my Get Your Shit Together Awards. We talked about that, kind of taking yourself. We do this as actors. It's number 16. It's called Date Night with Yourself. You want to take yourself out on a date. Treat yourself special. Right. Are you open to meeting guys, girls, whatever you're into? You got to be open to it. So, hey, try not to just fill your time to numb yourself. Think, where am I going with this? Where is this going to lead me? Because anything's possible. You got to believe that. I mean, everything we do on this show is about, hey, why can't it be possible? And, you know, we talked about in the beginning, right? We said, hey, you got to kind of find it. You got to find it, work hard at it. I'm flipping through my pages here and thinking, yeah. So when the odds are stacked against you, well, in this case, she doesn't have the odds stacked against her, but it sounds like you got to simplify there, darling. So do that. Right? Reassess the situation, find some clarity in your life, and go after what you really want. Don't just fill your time because, hey, you know how to make money. Okay, good. We got that down. Good. Now simplify. Take some time to yourself. Spend it on yourself. Do a little research. Do the due diligence and start moving in that direction. There you go. Yeah. Hope that helps. How about this? This is from Martha. Here's another question. Yeah, I'll take this question. We have a couple more, but now we're just going to do one more here. All right, Martha. What does she write? Oh, I love when they talk about acting. Here we go. In high school, I loved acting in school plays, but my college didn't have a theater department, so I joined the debate team. Okay, now that I graduated, can I still pursue a career in entertainment? That's interesting. All right, let's talk about that. First of all, where is that a passion of yours? Is this like through? I didn't act in high school, but doesn't mean it can't be a passion of yours. Was it a passion, and or were you just doing it to kind of keep busy? Did you truly enjoy it? If you did, you didn't do it in college. I understand that. No theater department. But did it kind of like burn inside you? First, you got to ask those questions. Is this something I'm truly passionate about? Because I will say, honey, Martha, you come to this town, you better be prepared. I was talking to a friend of mine recently about this. You got to be prepared to just buckle down and grind it out from 2 to 10 years, I'm going to say. Yeah, 2 to 10. And don't think, and 10, it might not be 10. It might be 17, like Christoph Waltz. I mean, it takes a lot of time. So unless you're committed to it and you believe in yourself, well, I don't know. You know, I always say, people, unless you truly have it in you to come here and take on whatever various jobs that you have to, I mean, we all do. Bartending, server positions, which I believe everyone in society should work in a server capacity at some point or another. But hey, dig deep down, find it, find your bliss, try to find out what it is that drives you. Sure, you definitely can pursue it, but you better commit to it. You better not come over here and kind of loosey-goose through, because guess what? It's not going to work. No way. This town will kick you out. It'll eat you up and spit you right out. But hey, if it's inside of you and you truly, truly want to do it, why not? Anybody can. I mean, thousands come here, right? It's like the biggest bus stop in the world. But it's an amazing town, amazing energy floating around. We're all creating as much as we can. There you go. Martha, dig deep. Find it. Find your bliss. Find what drives you. Clarify your ambition. Maybe, you know, work out, whatever it is, it's going to get you there. But you can. The answer is yes. Anybody can. If the odds are stacked against you, so be it. The odds are stacked against all of us, no doubt. Well, there you go. That's our show for today, folks. Pretty cool, right? Again, really appreciate you all tuning in. And tune in tomorrow. It's Acoustic Tuesday. Remember, we're going live with Sarah Claire, beautiful couple, well, couple, two gals, identical twins with the beautiful red hair. Yeah, I met Claire. I've not met Sarah, but I know Claire. And June Freedom, cool guy. He's going to be playing, singer-songwriter. He's got his guitar out. Going to rock it. So tune in tomorrow, latalkradio.com, right, /Tola Talks, if you want to check out the archives. On my website, richtola.com, is all sorts of stuff. Rich picks, live music. You want to advertise, hit us up. Love to hear from you. Because I'm Rich Tola, and remember, dreams do come true. But hey, what do I know?
You're listening to Tola Talks with Rich Tola, right here on LA Talk Radio.